Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at OANDA. Now Ed, we are sure starting off this Fed week on the back foot for markets. Boy oh boy, a lot of selling, a lot of red on my screen right now. Broadly, broad averages are down well over 2%. The Russell, small caps, those are down over 4%. Dow, I guess, is doing better than most of the others since it has rebound from being down almost 800 points today. That's still down over 1.5%. And you look to even the safe haven assets, they're all lower. The dollar's doing okay today, but gold, that's getting crushed. That's down $40. Interest rates, those are moving higher. 10 years now above 3.3%. I find very interesting that this is all happening during a Fed meeting early on in this week. Almost seems like the markets are trying to play chicken with the Fed to say, are you going to stop this tightening policy? Sure doesn't seem like the Fed will, but we'll find out more on Wednesday. Ed, your takeaway from weakness across the board to start this week.
There's broad selling everywhere. And right now, you know, a lot of that has to do with, as you pointed out, is the Fed going to make a mistake here with raising rates too quickly, and are they going to trigger a recession? And right now you're seeing the market really misread how hot that inflation report was going to be. They've also probably underpriced in how many rate hikes we're going to see this year. I think right now when you take a look at the hot inflation report from Friday, you take a look at the headlines over the weekend, China really taking a step back in the COVID war. They're now seeing ferocious rise in cases, as one of their officials pointed out, where we're probably going to see those supply chain issues are not going to ease. You know, 5 days ago, we were talking about how they're gradually reopening. Now it looks like, no, that was premature. So it looks like you're dealing with all these main inflationary pressures that don't really have any, I think, real optimism that they're going to ease significantly anytime soon. And right now, the market is expecting that because the economy is still somewhat on solid footing, because market functioning is still okay, credit conditions are fine. The Fed is in a position where every time we get a hot inflation report, the calls for a much more aggressive hike are going to be probably warranted. So I think you're going to see that the Fed is, Fetcher Powell might not commit to a 75 basis point increase on Wednesday, but I think, the chances are that making an acknowledgement that 75 is on the table for July, and that more aggressive tightening is needed into the fall, which is something that they weren't willing to do at the last meeting, is going to keep the pressure going here in the bond market. And that's why you're seeing a lot of traders focus once again, like, well, this time when the tens and twos invert, it's going to be for a lot longer. And eventually you're going to see this significant spike higher here in inflation really weigh on consumer spending. But right now the consumer is still in decent shape. I mean, we're seeing spending start to show weakness with lower income families. It's going to obviously going to be impacting every American. And I think right now, the base case is probably going to end up being that, you're going to see, throughout the rest of the year, the Fed likely be in a position where they're going to have to deliver pretty large rate hikes. And that, was a scenario that, raises that risk for a recession here. And you'll probably see that the consensus will eventually be that at some point next year, that's where this economy is probably headed towards. So a lot of confidence loss for risk appetite. And that's why you're seeing red everywhere. I think this is a very difficult environment, because right now, as far as, traders trying to get an idea or a consensus on, well, when will things bottom out? Oftentimes people will, rely on those technical levels. And right now, S&P 500, flirting with bear market territory. And now, you're probably going to see, you know, there are people talking 3,200, 3,400. So there's still significant more downward pressure that a lot of traders are anticipating. So this is a difficult environment to navigate through.
Yeah, Ed, it's a sea of red out there, and it's a difficult time. It does bring up the question whether the Fed is really going to be able to normalize these rates. I saw some articles that came out over the weekend talking about the Japanese yen falling more than it had in a quarter of a century because even foreign investors are worried about the hot U.S. inflation numbers. And if you think about what people were expecting, which they expected the CPI numbers to start trending down over the spring and summer, we're not seeing that. We actually saw a higher print, not by a large amount, but still, I think the key takeaway is the expectations of inflation now, investor expectations and market expectations are a lot stickier than they were even a few months ago. So can they actually normalize the rates? I mean, if we've seen this much weakness after only two hikes, they're just getting ready for their third hike. How in the world are they going to pull off three or four more hikes without going into a recession?
Well, right now, I mean, when you take a look at, you know, the inflation that's really hurting the economy, you know, food inflation has been, you know, unbelievably relentless, where chicken is now cheaper than beef. You're starting to see that raising interest rates is not going to help livestock inflation. The war in Ukraine, the lack of investment in new wells is keeping the oil market very tight, and you're going to see energy costs are going to remain elevated. So there's so much inflation that Fed policy won't really have an impact on. So, you know, why is the Fed doing what they're doing? Well, I mean, they can help with shelter costs. They can help with the housing market. And I think that's why this aggressive next few meetings of rate hikes is really going to cool the housing market. And then that will provide some benefit for the consumer. I think shelter costs has been one of the steepest risers and the more concerning ones for a lot of Americans. So I mean, right now, when you take a look at where the consumer is, how their balance sheets are, I mean, yes, their credit card spending is going up, but I think you can make the case that the Fed really should go pretty aggressive here, you know, right up into that September meeting. And I think that you're going to see there will eventually be a deterioration with financial conditions. You know, I think to say that could happen in the next 3 months might be a little bit aggressive. So I think you're really seeing the Fed. They're kind of, this economy was so strong. It's really going to force the Fed to maintain an aggressive stance. Yes, it will weaken pretty quickly. But I think not as quickly to make the Fed seriously consider a pause in September or a pause later in the fall. So I think we're going to see, unless the Fed makes a mistake. And right now, I mean, they're locked in. I mean, they know they can't make a flip flopping mistake. And I think you're unlikely to see them really change their tune unless we see a significant drop off here with inflation. And right now there's no real good reason to be optimistic that that's the case. I think, you know, we have probably at the very least, two more months of hot inflation reports. And then hopefully more things are peaking. But right now, no, it's this is a market that is pretty locked in on where inflation is heading, or that it's not going to ease significantly anytime soon. And that the Fed is going to deliver more rate hikes. And that's why we're seeing the bond market behave the way it is.
Yeah, it really does seem like the Fed is sticking to what they've told everybody. It seems like a lot of commentators are waiting for a Fed to flip and to flip very quickly. But they've even now admitted that inflation is running hotter for longer than they thought. And they're going to keep hiking rates. But it really does seem they're not going to get too aggressive in terms of bumping it up. Who knows? Maybe we'll hear more about a 75 basis point hike, but the Fed and Jerome Powell has done a lot to dissuade those type of expectations or tell us that it's simply just not happening. But Ed, so many people are focused on this recession aspect. it's just interesting to see even travel continuing to draw in a lot of money, showing a lot of inflation. Energy is staying high. People are getting squeezed, but there still seems to be at least the consumer, even though their confidence is low, still active in the market. What are you going to be looking for to tell you that maybe we do have a recession outside of simply just GDP numbers two quarters in a row that technically or is defined as a recession? What's going to tell you that a recession is actually here more so than everybody saying, well, we think it is. But again, we're waiting for those GDP numbers.
Well, I think right now what we have to focus on is market functioning, financial conditions. I think that is going to be a key part. I think that you're going to see weaker economic prints going forward. And with the consumer spending, I think right now, you're probably going to see that a lot of it is front loaded. I think, the travel story is a significant one. I mean, I think that everyone I've talked to has planned, a nice summer vacation. Some are lucky to have planned too. I think that you're going to see that a lot of this spending is already being priced in some of these numbers. And what you're probably going to see is things are really going to drop off. I think once we get to August and into the school year in September. So I think that consumer spending is going to be the key. That makes up for over two thirds of the economy. And that's what's really going to, I think, dictate whether, when people will make their call. Right now, the expectation on when that recession was going to happen, it's fascinating to see how quickly that has shifted over just the past few weeks. 2 months ago, the risk of a, recession this year was like, it was non-existent. Next year, 2023, it seemed that, it was very unlikely. And then, a week ago, the expectation was first quarter of 2024 was when maybe at the earliest we could see a recession. Now everything's changed. I think eventually you're going to see that the base case is going to become that a recession will probably hit this economy at some point in, around the second quarter of next year. There's going to be, I think, a significant deterioration in spending. But I think what you could see is, people will be tracking household balance sheets, every time leading up to that recession, you see credit card spending get higher. You're going to, everyone's going to be following those monthly credit card reports that we get on delinquencies, and I think that. You're going to probably see that if inflation does not if it continues to remain elevated, if food and energy costs just provide no relief, by the time we're in the fourth quarter, then watch out. Then I think that would be the scenario that would make things look even much more dire, and that those recession calls would be even moved forward even much faster. So I think there's a lot to track, but right now I think, the market is unfortunately, entering this risk-averse mode that, there's no reason to believe the Fed is going to pause in September or sooner. And I think that's what a lot of people, traders, were hoping for. And now you're seeing there's just going to be the seldom rally or whatever rebound we get is probably going to remain the theme until we really see capitulation and another major thrust lower here for equities. So I think right now we're retesting the May lows, and you're probably going to see that I think right now for S&P 500 3,500 is probably going to be a key support level. I think, people are looking for much more weakness, but I think there's going to be buying emerging shortly. But I think there's a lot of investors that are reassessing their trading strategy, and they're not just sticking to the U.S. They're going to focus more abroad. And I think that's going to really complicate on how we see you know, U.S. stocks finish out the year. And I think that's going to really, you're probably going to, you know, I think the next couple of weeks, you're going to see more revised calls on where the S&P will finish this year. And, you know, some traders were anticipating a complete recovery of all these losses. And I think that's going to be very hard to say right now.
Well, Ed, we'll have to keep following along with how this tug of war goes between the rate hiking cycle and inflation, but also the market stuck in the middle and how much weakness the Fed will permit before they eventually reverse course. But one other sector that we absolutely have to talk about today is the cryptoverse. We heard for 2020 and 2021 from a lot of the crypto community that they felt, especially Bitcoin being hard money, was going to be a great inflation hedge and a great store of value. But even in the last 24 hours, Ed, we've seen Bitcoin pull back by 14 to 15%, Ethereum down by 16 to 17%, many altcoins down that much as well. I know there was some other turbulence in the crypto community over the weekend, but clearly they're in a corrective mode that's pretty extreme at this point. What's your take on the crypto markets as someone that follows them very closely?
Well, right now you're seeing there's panic on Wall Street, and Bitcoin and cryptos are the ultimate risky asset. They've you know prior to this year, you know, we saw 3 years where Bitcoin, you know, was the best performing asset, and you're now seeing there's unfortunately a lot that has went wrong for Bitcoin, and a lot of that has to stem with, you know, the trajectory of Fed rate hike expectations. But the macro environment has turned pretty sour here for cryptos. I think that the market was expecting that you were going to see some stabilization hold up here. But what happened was, you know, large parts of the cryptoverse are feeling a lot of pressure. You know, I think it's important to point out that, you know, in past, on Wall Street, you know, whenever we talk about the run on the banks, you know, that's a big scary moment where you could see, you know, emergency actions taken by central banks and fear that, you know, conditions are destabilizing. Well, in the past 48 hours, we saw, you know, a major crypto lending platform have to pause withdrawals with Celsius, you know, sending out that announcement. And then, what was also, you know, scaring a lot of traders was that, you know, today, Binance, they had to pause their Bitcoin withdrawals for several hours. So you have fear that your money is not safe in crypto with two, you know, bellwether names for the space having issues in giving people their money. That, in addition to everything negative happening on Wall Street, you know, really just took the floor out of crypto, and that's why we're seeing, you know, prices drop below, you know, several key support levels, and now it looks like we're seeing Bitcoin specifically here, you know, it's crashed given where it was over since on Friday, and now you're probably going to see that, you know, there's a lot of lack of confidence in the space. And I mean, there's concerns that you're going to see further selling here. MicroStrategy shares were, you know, they were hit hard, as you know, they have a Bitcoin margin call looming. There's too much negative news. There's too much financial pressure. And that's really going to allow for further accelerated selling here. And I think that you're not seeing any real fundamental reason here that is going to provide optimism to buy this dip. If a lot of coins go under, you know, I think there's still that belief that Bitcoin is one of the core ones that will survive. I think right now you're dealing with a you know, there's just too much negative sentiment right now, and that's leading to this violent selling pressure, which For crypto traders, you know, a lot of them, they're used to this. And it's just a matter of, you know, when, you know, will that bottom form? And eventually when it does, as long as there hasn't been a game-changing event that won't alter the long-term path or view of crypto acceptance and further, you know, progress in the space. You know, I think there's a lot of hesitancy to buy the dip right now. And that's what makes a lot of people nervous. But I think this is a very violent market right now for the crypto space. And you're seeing 22,500 is one of the key levels I've been focused on. That's tentatively holding, but I think 20,000 is important. And 20,000 should be a very critical level. That was, you know, the most difficult resistance level for Bitcoin, several years ago. And now you're going to see that that should provide some key support. But if we're talking S&P 500, 3,400, well, you know, there's a good chance that level did not hold. So I think you're probably going to have, lots of hesitancy from people saying this is the bottom, because right now, I think sentiment is pretty low right now across the entire cryptoverse.
So, Ed, broadly, is there anything out there that is a safe bet right now? I'm looking at my screen and all I see is the U.S. dollar higher and oil higher. Other than that, man, oh, man, it's a lot of red. Doesn't matter what sector you're looking in. Doesn't matter what or how the markets ended last Friday. Everything is red. Is there any safety out there in your eyes?
Yeah, it's been pretty difficult to, I think, for a lot of traders to assess exactly, you know, what is the best investment in this environment. And I mean, like, even when you see, like, you know, a company like Oracle, which is kind of like the safe haven, one of the safe haven tech trades, that's down significantly. So I think right now, when you take a look at which markets traders are finding opportunities in, I think commodities, specifically in the energy space, oil is still a market that looks like it's performing pretty well, considering all the negative headlines. Oil, you know, today was down earlier, and a lot of that was because China having to reassess their COVID situation in Beijing. And also the, you know, potential demand destruction that's happening with all these recession calls that are growing. But right now, the oil market is very tight. And today there was a key report from the EIA, a good read if anyone has the time, where they discuss, the investment that we've seen in wells. And what this does is this financial report that they put together, you know, covers where 119 publicly traded companies have put spending in new wells. And what's the key takeaway is that, you know, exploration spending was 28% below the average. So the oil market is going to remain very tight. Even if we start to have recession calls grow, sadly, we're still going to have fairly elevated oil prices. You know, whether we're talking oil at just $100 or eventually 80, you know, that's still a tremendously profitable number for a lot of these oil companies. So I think that you're going to see that the oil industry is going to remain a key opportunity for some traders. And I think what you're also probably going to see is that a lot of traders too, they're taking a look at what has happened with U.S. equities. They're taking a look at the picture abroad. And if you take a look at monetary policy in China, if you want to, even dealing with all the potential tensions with the U.S. and further intensifying of tariffs and their COVID situation, you have a central bank that is going to become much more accommodative. You're probably going to see that I think President Xi is going to reassess that COVID strategy in the fall, zero COVID strategy. So I think there's a lot of traders are going to look abroad there's probably going to be ample opportunity with other markets right now, because the fight with inflation, the uncertainty for Fed policy is going to remain elevated, you know, not just the rest of this year, but next year. So I think you'll see that when you take a look at in like the CSI 300. Today, that was only down 1.1%. You know, I think there's optimism that, okay, well, some countries might perform a little bit better. You know, people are going to, you know, really, I think, focus on which central banks are going to be ready to hit the pause button. Right now, I think you're probably going to see that as the recession risks really start to climb up higher here, I think traders are going to look abroad because of that potential greater rebound that you could see in other markets.
All right, Ed, we're going to wrap it up here. Not much more to say about these markets other than tough start to the week. And again, it is a Fed week. So I really do think these markets are just trying to test the Fed to see if they can get any comments about easing or slowing down these rate hikes. I don't think it's going to come, but we'll get a little bit more clarity on that on Wednesday. Ed, thank you for your time. We'll chat next week. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.